About once a week, I make scones for breakfast. It is the simplest recipe in the world. It's a bunch of dry goods, and then you pour in a whole cup of heavy cream. Everyone is happy. But occasionally, I mess the recipe up somehow. I'll use baking soda instead of baking powder, or I will forget the chocolate chips. You're all wanting to come for breakfast now. There was one morning, though, when I reached for the darkish, finely ground spice that started with a C and ended with an N and confidently put in 2 tablespoons, only to discover that I had put in cumin instead of cinnamon. Because it was early in the morning and my brain was not quite working yet, I thought it was a fine idea to get the cumin out of the flour, and I went ahead and I made the scones, and I was surprised when I tasted the cumin instead of cinnamon scones that they were terrible. The cumin flavor was really quite strong. A little bit went a long way. Salt is that way too. A little goes a long way. And in terms of baking, if you do your job right, it disappears. The salt disappears into the batter or the dough, and it might help with the rising, but it doesn't stand out as the premier flavor of whatever you're making. Sea salt, as you know, has breathed new life into the caramel industry. And one of our family's favorite new recipes is for chocolate chip cookies that has 4 different kinds of chocolate chips. And as soon as it comes out of the oven, you sprinkle a little sea salt or kosher salt on it. I will get you that recipe, which was given to me by Miriam Rohrbaugh. So this week, as we continue along with the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us that we are salt and light. As a pastor, having served 12 different congregations over the years, I can attest to parishioners who were a little bit salty, and with some of them, a little went a long way. But there were also those who did what salt is supposed to do. They enhanced others. They preserved what was good and precious in their community. Some added a bit of flavor. I remember in particular one woman, a member of First Presbyterian Church of Crown Point, Indiana, who every Sunday wore the same hat to church, and it had its price tag on it, and she never took the price tag off. She was like Minnie, remember Minnie Pearl, some of you? Yeah, she was like Minnie Pearl. So I asked her, I'm like, why do you do that? She goes, it's so great. Every week, new people come up to me and to tell me that I have a price tag on my hat. There have been those who have been light too. The sanctuary of the first church I serve, First Presbyterian Church of Springfield, Illinois, is adorned with 7 beautiful Tiffany windows, 6 of them along the side walls depicting saints from the Bible. The church is also on the Lincoln tour because Mary Todd Lincoln was a member of that congregation and the Lincoln family pew is on display. So one of our church members was docenting a tour. And she came to one of the windows, and she was talking with a family with young children, and she said to the children, do you know what a saint is? And one of them said, a saint is someone who light shines through. We know the blessings of those who are salt and light to us. And it would be fun and uplifting to tell stories about them. I met this week with Jenny Robertson and her family to begin planning the service for her husband, Robbie, who died this week after a short stay in hospice care. They started telling stories, as families do. And they started talking about how they would never be surprised to wake up in the morning and find someone sleeping on the couch because Robbie would invite anyone who needed a place to stay into their home for days or weeks at a time. I think for those of us who knew him, we are really going to miss his light. But Jesus isn't saying, look around at who is salt and light. He is saying, you all are salt and light. He doesn't say, you used to be salt and light, but you lost your flavor and you lost your power. And he doesn't say, you will be salt and light once you're older or more mature or you study more or you become more faithful. He says, you are salt and light right now. And I wonder how we hear that. We might say, oh no, he doesn't mean me. He doesn't mean me. I bring nothing to the table. I question the existence of God on a regular basis. I'm not smart enough or talented enough or faithful enough to be who Jesus wants me to be. Or we might say, no, I don't have the time. It's all I can do to manage my work and my family. It's all I can do to take care of my commitments. Or we might say, I have lived a life of service and I'm retired now. Someone else's turn to be salt and light. I'm just going to sit over here underneath the bushel basket. We might say, I don't know how to be salt and light. No one ever taught me. I'm too old or I'm too settled in my ways. But no, Jesus said this, and I think this is one of those scriptures that leaps well from 2,000 years ago to today, that these words he said to those who gathered by the lake on the mountain to hear him, the first disciples and the peasants of Galilee, the words meant as much to them then as they do to us now, that Jesus needs us to do God's work in the world. Recently, I was talking with a friend who's been feeling a bit at loose ends and not sure what to do. She wanted to do something, but she didn't know what. And so we talked about what she's passionate about, and we talked about what she's good at doing, and we talked about what she loves to do, because somewhere in the intersection of those three things is the opportunity for her to be salt and light to the world. Remember that salt is a naturally occurring mineral. It's in rocks and water, but it is by itself NaCl, sodium chloride. And like salt, you by yourself, you are sufficient. You already have everything in you that you need to do this work that Jesus calls you to do. Who you are right now is who you need to be. My favorite Frederick Buechner quote is about this very thing when he said, the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. That's the other thing about salt. On its own, it has limited use. Sitting in that cardboard cylinder with the Morton's label around it, sitting there in your cupboard, it's not going to do much good. Add it to your dough, it modifies the yeast. Put it on the sidewalk when it's icy, you don't slip. Rub it all over some meat, it tenderizes that and brings out the flavor. But sitting in your cupboard, nothing is going to happen to it. It might clump together if it's a little humid, but it's not going to lose its saltiness. I like to think that Jesus knew that about salt. The saltiness does not fade over time. The only way that salt loses its flavor is if it is burned over and over again, or if it's watered down to the point of nothingness. So I think there's a caution, the caution of burning out or spreading ourselves too thin. And we have to let our lights shine. Light, too, is a naturally occurring thing, but the natural light we know goes away and comes back. We do not have the constant light of the sun or the moon, thank goodness, because we would go crazy if we didn't have that time of darkness in which to rest. We have to rest, but we have to shine too. If you were here on Christmas Eve, you might remember the story I told about how Caroline Kurtz worked so diligently to buy a solar panel and carry it across Ethiopia and have it installed on the corrugated tin roof of the medical clinic in the far-flung town of Maji, Ethiopia. She and those who worked with her on this project now allow light to shine so that the midwives assisting women in labor have enough light to see to help the mother and the child. This is a great metaphor. We shine light on life, we shine light on what is good, and we also shine light on that which needs repair. We are light, you and I, just like Jesus said. Maybe we're even saints, people whom light shines through. So I invite you right now to think of someone you know who is experiencing some kind of darkness. Grief is a darkness we are all too well acquainted with. Health struggles are a darkness too. Maybe you know someone who is estranged from their parents or their children. Maybe you know someone whose marriage is in trouble. Maybe you know someone who's been the victim of a crime and they can't shake the fear. Maybe you know someone who's very anxious. How can you be light to that person today or this week? Maybe you know someone not really very well, but you see them all the time, and they're in some kind of darkness. Maybe it's the same guy on the same corner who's always asking for money for food. Maybe it's a child who's struggling in school. Maybe it's the face of someone across the globe who is hungry or who faces violence every day. Maybe it's a teenager who's being bullied. How can you be light to this person this week or this month? I'm pretty sure that Jesus doesn't call us to nothing. I'm quite confident that Jesus wants us to interact with him and these words that we have of his, that Jesus calls us to interact with our own souls and what stirs them up, that Jesus wants us to interact with other human beings with whom we share this planet. Being salt and light to each other and to the world will change us. I think you know that. You enter into someone's darkness and you experience their pain, and somehow a gentleness or an empathy you didn't know you had emerges. That experience can help you out of bland observation into heartfelt commitment. I want to leave you today with words written by our beloved Portland author, Brian Doyle, who is experiencing a darkness of his own as he fights a brain tumor and surgery afterwards and all the complications that go with us. That. This is a man whose writing and whose speaking has been salt and light to many of us. And I think he and his family need us to be salt and light to them somehow right now. He wrote these words when he was better, but I think they work well for today. And what might we be as a species in the years to come? Oh, what? Oh, God, tell me. Oh, people, tell me. Oh, friends and lovers, tell me. Oh, enemies, tell me. Oh, clear, come clear to me in the entrail of birds and the fleeting tails of stars. What we might be if we rise and evolve, if we reach and leap, if we deepen and sing, if we come further down from the brooding trees and out onto the smiling plain, if we unclench the fist and drop the dagger, if we emerge blinking from the fort and the Stockdale and the prison, if we smash the bricks from around our hearts, if we cease to stagger and swagger, if we peel the steel from our eyes, if we yearn and learn, if we do what we say we will do, if we act as if our words really matter, if our words become muscled memory, if we grow a fifth chamber in our hearts, or a ninth, or a seventh, and become as if new creatures arisen from our shucked skins, creatures become who what we are so patently and brilliantly and utterly and wholly and wholly capable of. What then? Amen.